I misplaced my working notes on the sermon tonight, so I go over the writing. I think I put it in one of my briefcases and with all my sketch to preach, but I just go over this. I'm so rejoicing in the fact that I really get to know the section of the scripture that we're going to study tonight. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are ready to study this difficult section in the Bible, and at the same time, it's not difficult when we believe exactly what you wrote. So help us to understand and help us to put together a comprehensive thoughts about this very well known by popular Christianity, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Thank you, Lord, that you write in a way that is always stable. Bless us, we look on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the recordings in the book of Revelation from chapter 6, 1 to chapter 19, at the end of chapter 19 and verse 21, those recordings are connected, all of them, with 1 week of the 70 weeks of Daniel. It's known in theology by the name of 70 weeks. And we're going to find numbers today. You maybe have to use your pencil to figure out the adding and subtracting. I don't want to create numbers. I'm going to read the numbers and tell you what they are. So it is necessary for me to really stop right here where we are in the study before I take the second horse and find out what that horse is in Revelation, and take just a glance. This is not a deep, profound study on Daniel, but it's enough to tell you what it is. The key question is what time it is, all right? What time is it? If it's the last time, it's the beginning time. And the weeks, as you want to see, the weeks of Daniel are divided in sections. One, section two. Then there is a space that some people forgot to consider. And then is the last week. So Daniel had been a prophet for 60 years in the land of Babylon, approximately from the year 538, right there in that land. And I'm very sure if you turn your Bible to Jeremiah, to chapter 25 and verse 11, that Jeremiah was before him. So Jeremiah was he has in his hand these prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 25 and in verse 11. Now remember, Daniel is in captivity. Jeremiah is free. He's in Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah writes by inspiration of God in chapter 25, verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That's where they come, the word, the 70 weeks of Daniel. 70 years. So Jeremiah writes and said, Jeremiah, a prophet of God, said, America is going to be in captivity, and so on. That's what they put in jail to Jeremiah, and they treated bad. But Jeremiah was saying what God was saying. And I'm very sure that Daniel, who was a young fellow, maybe 12, 13 years old at that time, had these words in his hand available, and he treasured in his heart. See, there were 70 years, the captivity of the people there. And now that captivity, those 70 years as he is in Babylon, is coming to an end. And Daniel is really thinking, I wonder if I can know the date. You know, that's in everybody's mind, you know, if I can know the date. Today, people try to know the date of the coming of the Lord. So Daniel tried to know the date when all of this will take place. And I want you to see in Daniel's chapter 9 in verse 3 that he was not like these people today. They try to add and subtract and trying to make an assertion of the day. Daniel was in prayer and in supplication. Look in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel And in verse 3, the Bible says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." In other words, he considered himself, when you put sackcloth on you and ashes, me, I'm nobody. I don't deserve this. So he's humbling before God, said, "Lord, I want to study this. I really want to know what you say." If you follow from verse 3 in chapter 9 to chapter 20, or the same chapter, in chapter 20, it said, look at what happened to him. He was serious, he was praying, and happened to all of us. When we are serious and when we are praying, God, the Holy Spirit, will illuminate us. And look at here in verse 20. "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, and that word man is Archangel Gabriel, "whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to swiftly touch me about the time of the evening oblation." Verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I am now come for to give thee a skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came for, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." So it is true. Daniel had the privilege of being taught by an angel what God is ready to do. Now, no man today can claim that God in person will come and say, "Now I want to tell you the date, or I want to tell you this." This is one time shot in the Bible where Daniel humbled himself before God and he knows the scripture and he said, "I wonder when God is going to end this captivity and what's going to happen to Israel at that time." Now, I'm going to start reading the paper and making comments because I lost my notes, so I had to get the trademark in here. So I'm in the point in page 38 on the 70 weeks. I'm going to start from there. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And let me start reading directly from the Bible, verse 24 to 27. These are the 70 weeks. So I read now from the Bible directly from the King James Version. 70 weeks, verse 24 in Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's talking about Jesus, by the way. Verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, for your information, an score is 20, 60 score is 60, and then they said, and 2 weeks. So we are here going into a very mathematical precision. They are going to put it all in the table in a minute. Now, the street shall be built again. He's talking about the reconstruction of Jerusalem and the wall, even in troubled times. And you read the book of Nehemiah, you know the trouble that Nehemiah had in building the wall. Verse 26. "And after 62 weeks, that means 60 years and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the world desolation are determined." In other words, the people will return, but there will be an end to these people. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and for the other spreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's the 70 weeks of Daniel's, all explained to Daniel. Daniel had no further question. He understood everything. We still have questions, all right, and still and this. Now, I'm going to start explaining. This vision of the 70 weeks is the most important revelation in many ways made in the scripture. This is the God said, this is what is going to happen to Israel, and this is going to happen to the very end. We are here told that this period of 70 weeks are determined upon Daniel's people. Now, here is where theology divides. Theologians said, if God spoke to Daniel's people, the Jew, then this does not refer to me. And here's where theology divides big span. Theology said, well, the timing and the revelation was for Daniel's people, that is the Jew. They assume that word Jew, they assume. Daniel's people are the Jew. So this prophecy refers only to the Jewish people and not to the church, and refers to the millennium that is going to happen, and to the people of Israel doing this and the other. The thing to consider in mind is that in the New Testament, we are the sons of Abraham. And Galatians chapter, let me show you, because you need to pound there the whole compound of the scripture. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible speaks about this very seriously. In verse 28 and verse 29 in Galatians chapter 3. Very, very serious statement. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be in Christ, then ye are what? You are Daniel's people. You are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. So watch out when you limit the people of Israel just to Daniel's people. Because in the New Testament, the broad picture comes because of the rejection of Israel to God. Remember in John 1:11, said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But then in verse 12, said, but as many as received him, as you and me, have become the children of God. So these I want you to keep it in the back of your mind, because we're going to do some math very soon. So reading here from page 38, I want to start reading again. The 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Daniel. And some people say the Jewish people. And upon the holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Know therefore and understand from that going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now that's what the scripture said. Now let me go into the explanation. This vision of the 70 weeks is the most important revelation, as I said to you. Now this is very important. It discloses the fact that the 70 weeks have nothing to do with the Gentiles of the church till the last week take place. In other words, God is dealing with Israel for 69 weeks, and then on the last week he turns around. That's what people miss, and they make the 70 weeks Israel. For 69 weeks, yes, he deals exclusively for that. Now, it also discloses another important fact, that the 70 weeks only cover the period when the Jews are dwelling in their own land and does not cover the period of their dispersion. In other words, the period it's talking about is when the Jews return to the land. But then they come the diaspora, remember? That's a Greek word for dispersion. God kicked the Jews out of Jerusalem into Europe. And so that not cover that period. So we're going to deal with that, all right? So when we look in history, we need to have all the facts together. Now, We are told in verse 24 that these 70 weeks were determined for sixfold purpose. All right? If you look here in verse 24, there were six purposes why God had determined the 70 weeks. It is the transgression of Israel that is here referred to, and the finishing of it will be turning away of ungodliness from Jacob. It's right here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Okay, these 70 weeks are dealing with Israel. What was the transgression? They forgot the Passover. They forgot the Passover. From the time they left to here, they forgot the Passover, and they need to pay a week for each year the Passover was not celebrated. So they, this is what they call it. If you go to Romans with me to chapter 11, Paul deal in a very wonderful way about this. In Romans 11, and in verse 26, and in verse 27, he said, the King James said, "And so all Israel shall be saved." The translation shall say, "And this is how all Israel, that is Jew and Gentile, shall be saved, as it is written, they shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin." And so the transgression of Israel has not yet come to an end, and will not until Israel shall be converted. But God is not to convert a nation. God's going to convert people of Israel. The nation of Israel is gone. It's not going to reign any longer. It's just people that from Israel. In other words, God did not reject the people. God rejected the nation. He divorced the nation. He did not divorce the people. There is a big difference between that. So verse 24, going back to Daniel, is talking about first, there are sixfold pays in why these 70 weeks. First is to finish with the transgression of Israel and finish together. Now, how do you finish with the transgression? You bring the Messiah, you die on the cross, you believe in him, you're now in the hands of God. Now, number two, to make an end of sin. Look at here. And verse 24 said to finish with the transgression and to make an end of sin. That's a number two. All right? The sin of Israel, these may refer to the author of Israel's sin is Satan. I thought, well, it's going to really put Satan under control. In other words, God is going to finish with Satan. At the end of the 70 weeks, Satan is gone. And so Satan is going to be dealt with. Number three, and verse 24 said, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. This refers to Israel's iniquity and the rejection of the Messiah. Atonement was made for their sin on the cross. Its application to Israel awaits the day when they shall look on him who then fears. And that's from Zechariah. And so at the moment of the prophecy is done, you say Israel need to be really reconciled to God. And so the only reconciliation for Israel to be with God is through the Messiah. Unfortunately, they reject the Messiah. Fortunately, you and I are included in the salvation. Number four, in verse 24, said, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. The king will come and the kingdom be restored to Israel. Israel people and church people. No, at this time now we are crossing history and we are together. And the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth and the waters cover the sea. That's a prophecy in Habakkuk 2:14. In other words, Israel had denied the Lord, but now the Lord is going to cover the entire earth with the knowledge of God. This is not just for the Israelis when the millennium comes. This is for now. Now is this is developing in the area. Now, to seal up the vision, said verse 24, and seal up the vision and prophecy. When the transgression of Israel has ceased and they have uninterrupted communion with God, there will no longer be a need of visions and prophets. It is a noteworthy fact the visions and prophecy have been fulfilled. Now, When that happened? Right now. Look at with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When the vision of Israel has been entirely done, when the Messiah has been revealed, when the Bible has been complete, I don't need a cuckoo to tell me where the future is. Now, look at here in 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, it's not talking about the coming of Christ at the end of time, that which is perfect, that is neutral, and you don't call a person neutral, the demonstrative pronoun is neutral, refers to the Bible. And so verse 10 said, but when that which is perfect is come, that word that is neutral, is not personal, so it's no personal demonstrative pronoun, it is a neutral, and so it refers to an object, and it's the Bible. When that is come, said the scripture, then that which is in part shall be done away. And when I was a child, his eyes spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also know. And so this is telling me that I don't need somebody to reveal me the future, because complete, the future is totally revealed right here in the scriptures. And so what a wonderful statement the Bible say that. So to seal up the vision and the prophecy. The next statement in verse 24 in Daniel is to anoint the most holy. There is a great significance in this announcement, for although the tabernacle of Moses was anointed, in Leviticus 8:10 say that, there is no mention of such ceremony in the consecration of either Solomon's temple or the temple of Zerubbabel. For those buildings were considered merely as continuations of the Mosaic tabernacle. But when the king comes back and sits in the throne of his father, that's after the resurrection, there is to be a magnificent temple erected. There will be no Ark of the Covenant, and with the mercy, and with it is mercy seats, and in the most holy place, but in its place will stand a royal throne. And who will sit over there? We saw it in chapter 5 in Revelation, the branch. The Messiah shall sit as the king priest, remember? And though whose anointing is here referred to. In other words, there is, when all is over, the king will be established. You read Revelation 21 and you find it. The king established, the new Jerusalem coming in, everything established in there. So now, as the fulfillment of this sixfold purpose of the 70 weeks synchronized with the things that shall happen at the close of this week, and that are described in Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21, it is clear that the last of the 70 week of Daniel, 70 weeks, cover the time period of Revelation 6:1 to 19:21. In other words, the last week is the terrible week where Satan will try once for all to destroy the kingdom of God as he can. And that is the expression. It's not some future event. It is an event that is ahead for all of us. Now, I want to say one more thing in page 40. The 70 weeks are divided into three folds. 7 weeks and 62 weeks and 1 week. They cover the time from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, which was 14 days of the month of Nisan. Remember in Exodus 12, in March, and Nisan is the month of March, that's 445 years before Christ, to the second stage, the stage of the revelation, the second coming of Christ. The first period, 7 weeks, refers to the time required to build the walls of Jerusalem, which was 49 years. Now pay attention to here, because when we say 2 years, 3 years, now if you're going to add the Bible, you better change your calendar. Because you cannot apply 300, the calendar that we run our life is 365 days and one quarter of a day. That's how the calendar works, all right? And we miss that quarter, and then every 4 years we have one extra day. That was the arrangement of the Catholic Church on the calendar. But the Bible calendar is 360 days exactly. Remember that. So when you do numbers in the Bible, you have to multiply 360 only. Okay? Because, look at here. All right? The first period, 7 weeks, refers to the time required to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which was 49 years. That's given us the key to the meaning of the word week. For if 7 weeks are equal to 49 years, 1 week is 7 years. That's why you get the name, the 1 week is 7 years. So if 7 weeks is 49 years, then 1 week is 7 years. Now we are told that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that's 445, unto the Messiah prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. Or if 1 week is equal to 7 years, that will be 7 times 69, 483 years. Now, Jesus as Messiah, the prince, rode in triumph in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, April 2, AD 30. The difference in time between BC 445 and AD 30 is 475 years. But as we have seen, 69 weeks equal 483 years. A difference of 8 years. How are we to explain this difference? The 475 years between BC 445 and AD 30 are Julian, that is the Pope, or astronomical years of 365 and one quarters. You regulate your life through the sun. In the Bible, regulate your life through the moon. You can read Genesis chapter 1, said the moon was the one who regulates and marks the time. But man changed it to the sun, and then you have these difficulties. Now, as 69 weeks of Daniel's 70 weeks have been already expired, and all that have prophesied occurred during those 70 weeks have not yet been fulfilled, it stands to the reason that the things unfulfilled are still future and must be fulfilled in the remaining 1 week, and that 1 week shall be 7 years long, for it must be of the same length of the other week. So, Israel's promises have been fulfilled. There is no any promise to Israel that God owed to Israel to be fulfilled. There is only 1 week left of 7 years in which God is going to accomplish. The only trouble is the Bible driver tell you when is the first year of that week and the end of that week. And now you're going to see something. These, then, I'm reading in page 40, gives us the length of time of the reign of the prince that shall come, the Antichrist, who are told in verse 27 and Daniel 9:27, shall make a covenant with the Jew for 1 week. I'm going to read it for you. Daniel 9, in verse 27, remember we read that one. Say, and he shall confirm the covenant with many of the week, 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. I asked the Secretary of State Department if I can have copies of the statements made by Clinton and by Carter on the agreement with Israel. And I read them, and I have it. No once in those agreements with Israel and the people is mentioned God. They're all politicals. And so the arrangement that Israel is making is not a fulfillment of God's on Israel. It's a fulfillment of political arena, as Revelation, as Daniel 9:27 is telling. They're trying to make an arrangement without God, an arrangement of peace. That's what it is. It's amazing. So now, I'm reading again. Now, as 69 weeks, Daniel 70 weeks have been expired, and all that was prophesied to occur during those 70 weeks have not yet been fulfilled, it stands to the reason that the things unfulfilled are still future. In other words, anything that is in the Bible unfulfilled is future. But Israel, all is fulfilled. and must be fulfilled in the remaining 1 week. And that 1 week shall be 7 years, because it's part of the other weeks, for it must be of the same length. And so people said to me, well then, Pastor, the world should not exist now, because the 69 weeks are over, and the 1 week. 7 years follow, and what happened? Here is what happened. These then give us the length of time of the reign of the prince that shall come, the Antichrist, who are told in verse 27 of Daniel, shall make a covenant with the Jew people for 1 week, the last of the 7 weeks. And that in the middle of the week, he shall break the covenant and cause the sacrifice and oblation, and that the Jew will have restored to cease. And then the overspreading of abomination and makes desolate shall continue until the end of the week. And as this is, just what is foretold will occur during the reign of the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians. They come in apostasy from the church. I hear a good sermon this morning in television saying by Dr. Charlie Stanley, saying, you know, where America is going with his sermon. He said, we are going to hell. We have left God. And he said, you know what the problem is? What Pastor Thomason told me the other day, I told the man in the breakfast the other day. The problem is not the money in America, it's not the army, it's the church. The church have left to preach, and this is the dealing. The church have left to preach the word of God, and Satan is dancing. Now, we do not have yet stepped into that first week of this travel. And so I'm reading of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, 4. We see that the period between Revelation 6, 1 and Revelation 19, 21, that we are now about to study is the third period, the 1 week of Daniel's 70 week, and that it is two last 7 years. For these we see that while there was no time space between the first and the second period of the 70 weeks, there is a time space between the second and third period, the 69 to the 70 a week. In the year 2009 will be the space, 1,979 years. So from week 69 of Daniel until today, there are 1,979 years of space. See, God is very good, clever. If everything was numbered and followed chronologically, we don't have the wall anymore, it's finished. But between Israel deception and the beginning of this last week, there is a period. Which the period? The church. God has mercy. And in his mercy, he put the church. But there is no limit here. There is no information about when is the last day here and when is the beginning of the end. There is no information between. We have the information when was the day of the last day of the 69 weeks. Yes, we can pinpoint in the Bible calendar that. But we cannot pinpoint when will it start the first week. And that's what man trying to do. God did not give us that. All right? So from these we see that while there was no time and space, then there is in a space of 1,979 years or the present church age. This was hidden so the church should not fail to watch. So, it is clear to me, I don't know to you, but to me, I know this is took me a long time to put it. Pardon me? So it is clear to me that the Jewish nation and the church will enter this final week together, and the kings of kings will come and restore his kingdom, just as Revelation explained it. In other words, God is seeing that Israel, you know, today they do not believe in God. My professor of Hebrew was in jail 2 or 3 times in Israel for talking about Jesus in the school. I enrolled myself in the school in Israel, and I asked them if I can use the Bible. And they said, well, we only recognize only one Bible, the Old Testament. And you are in America, you have been corrupted by the Americans who created the new Bible. And I'm just riding back and forth to them because I see legally you cannot enroll me for conversational rapidograph and writings in New Hebrew style. So I want to take that class. And you take it through the computer, 6 hours a week, and you get the newspaper and you write. But I said, I want to write the Bible, the classic Hebrew, in the common Hebrew. So, oh, no, you cannot use the New Testament. And the New Testament is well written in Hebrew, perfectly. So you can see, I tell you the truth, the Jewish people, they already have their time and they are gone. Now, the only way they can be saved is through Christ Jesus. There is no way. Now, God and mercy, and that's John 1:12, but as many as receive him, God and mercy, shut the Jew, bring the Messiah, die on the cross, resurrected, then rejected, but God did not fail. Now has his people. He say in Isaiah, and I want to look at and another day, and I say, I have other people. God said, I have other people in my name, and it's you and me. And so God is bringing all of these together. And one day, the kingdom of God will be established. And it's not going to be Israel's kingdom. It's going to be God's kingdom. And God's going to be the king. Let me show it to you. Revelation 21. This is what I'm looking for. And I don't know how people confuse the anointing of Gentiles with the remarkable salvation that we have. Revelation 21 said, and I saw a new heaven, verse 1, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now that's at the end of the 7 week. The last week at the end, when that week finished and Christ come, this is what he saw. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Not the people think, oh, Jerusalem's going to rebuild again. The temple is going to be rebuilt again. How many salvation plans are we going to have? We only have one salvation plan, and that salvation plan is that Christ the Messiah die. We cannot have the Jew preach the gospel again. No, we preach the gospel to the Jew, yes. All right, look at here. And I, verse 2, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You and I will not remember any more of this earth. Are we not happy? We will not remember our sins no more. We will be just fantastic. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne, see, we're going to see a throne, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, believe me, I believe with all my heart. Now I understand those 70 weeks of Daniel very well. Now I know what's going on, and I know this. We all have missed that period of time that between the 69 weeks of Daniel and the 7, there is no continuity. Everybody wants to have a continuity. Not necessarily. There is no continuity. The Jewish people rejected, and the Old Testament people didn't know the Gentiles were to be saved. They only wrote with other lips and other languages, worshiped the God, but they did not understand what God was planning to do. And God said, well, okay, my people rejected me. I get all the Gentiles I can, and then when all the Gentiles come in, all the Jewish people that believe, and all the Gentiles who believe, are going to go through this awful period of time where Satan is trying to display his work. Satan can do nothing about it. Politically, we're going to see chaos. We're going to see a kind of a union between politics and religion, between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And when that happened, oh boy, we know we are in that period. And when the church closed the doors of the Bible and said, no more Bible, then we know that we are in a period like that, and we are closer and closer and closer, but nobody knows the time. I cannot say, this day start the last 7 weeks, because there are 7 years. This time will start. Nobody knows. Only God. God is going to bring his people into his presence, and he will establish his kingdom. But there will be an awful cleanup. To me, the last 7 years is a cleanup of those who are washy-washy. They think they are Christian, and they are not. But believe me, I'm not against Israel, But Israel had no control of anything to do in the scripture for the future. Everything Israel, God promised Israel, was done. Now God has promised to you and to me that if we look upon Jesus, then we are saved. And that's what we need to know. Then when that period of 7 years starts, that's up to God. And when it started, you're a Christian. You're untouched. You go through, it will be tough times. So what? They think that this is tough times. They have no idea. People think, oh, we are in tough economical times. You have no idea what is ahead. I mean, the chaos that is ahead, the death that will be on Christianity is tremendous. But, you know, dying as a Christian is just going to heaven. That doesn't have any terrible consequences, rather that you are ahead of the others. But some people will remain, because Jeremiah remained. It was said, yeah, some Christians will be there, because Jeremiah, God remained. We are in God's hand. Now, with that in mind, then when we go back to Revelation, we see that Revelation 6:1 all the way to Revelation 19, verse 21, deal with only one issue, that terrible, awful week in which God will allow Satan to move a little bit, and God's going to eliminate and punish the people. So people say, we are there. Really? How do you know? I don't know. If it was, oh, we are there. Well, in the year 1000, you know what happened? In the year 1000, Christianity said that salvation is by indulgence. You pay so much to the church and you'll be saved. And people thought, oh, we are at the end of the world. No, we're not. Only God knows. I tell you what we are. We are getting to get busy to preach the gospel. We are to get busy to tell people about the Lord. And let the Lord, he gave us this information in Revelation. We study the information. But doesn't worry me at all. And doesn't make me upset or anything. I say, oh boy, those times will be, I maybe know it, I maybe don't. I maybe be one day in those times, I maybe not. That's in, you know, has no value whatsoever to the work that we have to do now. Now is the work of evangelism. Now is the work to tell people the Lord is very loving to save you. That's what our job is. Now, the prophecy is to let us know that one day the world is going to come down to the end in a very bad form. But no you. No you. No nation will save you. Who save you? Christ. No nation. Praise God. It's clear to me, maybe disagree, but it's clear to me. I send it to the school approve it. And they say, you are in opposition to the theologians of the 1800 and 1900. Yes, I am. And I'm in opposition to the theologians of the 1600. I say, remember, I'm Gabriel the Great. So, you know, every preacher trying to understand. But this is very, very clear to me, that your job and my job is not to be scared of the future, but to preach Christ to the very end. If we walk through that, so what? Christ is with us, all right? Never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight. It is difficult, it is complex, and sometimes we lose track of it. But Lord, one thing I know, our church will preach the gospel until you close it. So bless us in Sunday school, in morning hour, in the afternoon, whatever we do, in the classes to answer questions, that Christ be presented. And Lord, when you are ready to close this world, we are ready to go with you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.